What is up, podcast community? My name is Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Habits are everything, and on this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivated, and high-performing humans on the planet to learn about the daily habits, routines, and rituals that help keep them focused, determined, on top of their game, and ultimately, happy. My journey from the depths of addiction and misery to success as a family man and serial entrepreneur was only made possible by replacing bad habits with great ones, and my mission in life today is to share that story and the story of others with you to bring value and life-changing tools to as many people as possible. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear in this podcast today can potentially change your life. Let's go. Today, I have a very special guest that I've known for some time. We started our businesses roughly around the same time, Danielle Dubois. She is the co-founder and co-CEO of Saqqara Life. If you don't know about Saqqara Life, you're living under a rock. When Saqqara Life first came out, I thought it was insane. And out of nowhere, every single person that I spoke to was like, I ordered from Saqqara. I was like, yes, this is incredible. Danielle is also a Forbes 30 Under 30. Mind Body Green 100 Women in Wellness. She was featured in Oprah's Super Soul 100. She's an author of a national bestseller, Eat Clean, Play Dirty. Danielle is really, truly an incredible entrepreneur that is paving the way for so many women with her partner, Whitney. And welcome to the show.
That was a beautiful intro. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you hopping on. This podcast is really focused on value. I'm trying to deliver direct, easy to implement habits, rituals, routines from people that have inspired me and many, many others, specifically in the world of entrepreneurialism. So I'm going to ask you the first question. I'd love to hear about your morning routine.
I have to admit, coming on this podcast, Theo, I was like, shoot, I don't know if I'm a creature of habit, so this should be interesting. My morning ritual, let's see, I'm a mother of two, so rituals and routines are definitely hard to come by, but I definitely do a couple things. One of them is making sure I get a lot of water in the morning and mineralized water. So making sure that's time where, you know, you kind of wake up the organs, the system, the digestive system with water and get those trace minerals in your body as soon as possible.
So how do you get your minerals into your water?
We have something called Beauty Water Drops, and it was the second product we launched after food. And in retrospect, I kind of wish we had called them something different, even though the name Beauty Water is so beautiful. But I think it undermines kind of the scientific and physiological impact they have on our bodies. So they're trace minerals. Not only help remineralize us, but actually help our cells soak up more hydration. So, you know, you can kind of think of it as making your water wetter. So that's something that I, even in the midst of children and chaos, I make sure I do. It's time to hydrate and remineralize.
You make sure to get a bunch of water, and then
that's it.
That is the one commitment you have. Boom, done. That's it. I'm sure there's more. There's got to be more. I know there's
more. Definitely more. I also think of it as a time to set myself up for success from like a blood sugar stabilization point of view. So focus on getting, you know, and or fiber and protein. There's also a lot of herbs that can help stabilize your blood sugar. We have something called metabolism powder that contains an Ayurvedic herb that helps stabilize your blood sugar over time. I'm sure all of your listeners know, because I'm sure you have a very intelligent base. Blood sugar stabilization is at the core of metabolic health. So setting myself up for success early on, because I never know what my day is going to look like, even though I do own a food company, you know, sometimes I forget to eat or I'm out and about and I don't have, you know, the kind of nutritional day that might be quote ideal. So doing that in the morning helps set me up for success.
And can you just give a quick example of like what that would look like?
For instance, I don't just talk about Saqqara. I actually eat Saqqara, and sometimes people are really surprised. They're like, yeah, but do you eat your food? I'm like, yes. Started this company because cooking and eating this way was so hard to do for myself. And people typically think I'm a cook, and I'm very much not. That's why I started meal delivery. So I always start my morning with a Saqqara breakfast, which, you know, we measure the carb to fiber ratio to make sure your blood sugar is stable. Always a high protein breakfast. And if I'm running out the door, don't have time, or, you know, sometimes I want breakfast later, I'll do our metabolism powder in a cup of coffee. So it's like this chocolatey powder that tastes delicious, and I just blend it with some homemade almond milk, and it's delicious, and I can take it on the go.
I'm assuming based on that, intermittent fasting is not something that you do or do on a regular basis.
It's not something I do on a regular basis, but we worked with Dr. Aviva Ram on a program that's called Level 2 Detox, and that involves intermittent fasting. We do something called a medicinal broth that you have as your evening kind of mealtime snack, but it's a an herbal broth. So you are intermittent fasting for about 16 to 18 hours. You're a big fan, I take it?
I toggle back and forth. I've definitely been an advocate for it over the years, but I believe that there is a certain time and a place for it. And when life is intense, and obviously as an entrepreneur, as a mother, as a father for me, with all the things that are going on in our lives, intermittent fasting could definitely pile on the stress, right? If you wake up and you've got a ton going on and you're sitting at the desk or you're doing whatever you're doing and you're also hungry, it doesn't necessarily lend itself to like awesome optimism. And this is through experience, you know, where I've caught myself being like, you know, Mike, you're intermittent fasting. You've got a lot of stuff going on in your life. You don't have to intermittent fast. Like there's not a huge difference between where you look, feel, and are when you're intermittent fasting and when you're not. That's the truth for me. I can't say it for everybody else, but fitness is a massive part of my life. So like I would never intermittent fast for like a weight loss remedy. Yeah. It would really be for, you know, really giving my metabolism a break.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about something a lot here at SCAR. It's called body intelligence. And it really, basically what it means is wellness is not a to-do list. It should be guided by what feels good. It's not, you know, if you have to force yourself and cram yourself into guidelines that don't feel right, I think that's like a really good sign and that you should listen to your body and listen to what feels right. On the other hand, I also know from experience that if you are looking for a transformation, sometimes it's going to feel hard. So like balancing the two and understanding like, does this actually feel hard, but like I'm going in the right direction versus, yeah, is this actually just way too stressful and not right for me?
And I agree with you. I think in the world of wellness, it's definitely not a one size fits all. And I think that's something that is unfortunately misunderstood. We are on the Creatures of Habit podcast. So I do believe wholeheartedly in habit. I really do. Mm-hmm. I believe we are our decisions. Specifically, we are our consistent decisions. And so that doesn't always have to do with wellness specifically. But if waking up an hour earlier is something that you are trying to do, I could promise you right now, if it's something that you've never done, it is not going to feel awesome. You know what I mean? When you first start doing it.
Sometimes you have to like work at it and it feels like you're climbing up a mountain. Totally. It's interesting what you said, you know, we are our decisions and it's such a self-fulfilling prophecy too, especially when it comes to something like your diet, because your decisions are so impacted by what you've been eating. And, you know, at SCAR, we call it consuming because it's certainly your overall health and vitality is very much based on your nutrition, but it's based on all inputs. That's inputs in the form of your community. That's inputs in the form of, you know, what you watch, what you listen to, also what you eat. It's like your habits form habits.
When I began my journey in wellness, this new life that I've been given an opportunity to live about 17 and a half years ago, I had a full-blown eating disorder, but I also replaced my addiction for drugs and alcohol with food and fitness. And it took me a while to really sort of calibrate those things. But I do strongly believe that the human's relationship to food is the most important relationship. It is the relationship that we are guaranteed to have our whole entire lives. From the minute you start sucking on the boob till the day it's all over, that relationship is the longest one we'll have. And so it's an intense one. It's a super intense relationship. And it's so interesting. Melissa Urban, who has become a good friend of mine, she said something to me that just made so much sense. She said, when people ask me how to change anything, I always bring to the surface their relationship to food. Because if you want to change something, your relationship to food could very well be the catalyst to changing everything.
It's so powerful. And that's why I'm in this industry, because it's what transformed my life. And it's at the core of, do you believe you are worthy of nourishment? And do you believe that you have the ability or believe that you are also worthy enough to shine your brightest light, so that we happen to be way more afraid of being in our power than diminishing our power and our light. And food often sits in between you and that.
The difference between reacting to life and responding to life is massive, right? The delta there is huge. And I think that comes with time. I think that comes with intention. I think that comes with experience. A lot of people walk through life reacting. Something happens, boom. They don't give it a minute to sit. They don't really appreciate what actually just happened. Action, reaction, action, reaction. I've been focused on for years, really trying to slow it down. So when something happens, instead of me just like trying to say what I think is right or do what I think, you know, needs to happen, really appreciate something, let other people do things. And it's so similar with food too, because it could easily be 8:30, 9 o'clock at night and I'm watching Netflix with my wife and boom, all of a sudden I think it's a fantastic idea to go raid the snack drawer. Like, boom, like that would be such a good idea. Like I could totally do that right now. Like that would be great. And if I react to that, it's over. Start with some dark chocolate and then I can, you know, make my way into the other things. However, if I'm like, oh, that's an interesting thought. Wow, that was an interesting thought. I don't think I need that right now. That's where I've come with it, you know, and that is really the relationship that I have with food now, where I truly have to put cues to remind me that like, yeah, that first thought, you didn't have control over that churn now. That was a thought that you had because you were watching a movie, you were cozy, you were comfortable. It felt like, you know, maybe you should do something that wasn't whatever. And then I can take a minute and get through it. So I really do think the react respond with food too is so crucial.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand. We launched the brand with a product called The Protagonist. It is a superhuman oatmeal. It is not just regular oatmeal. It is plant-based, dairy-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, packed with 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, probiotic, digestive enzymes, truly the best thing you can put in your body to kickstart your day. Used as a pre-workout meal or a post-workout meal. This is a meal, everybody. This is not a snack. This is a meal. It is perfect for on the go. Use promo code KOHPOD20, the number 20. That's KOHPOD20 at checkout when you pop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That is creatures with a K, creaturesofhabit.com. We appreciate you. We love you. And now on to the pod.
Let's dig into your wind down routine.
I really enjoy, it's the time I get with my kids. I'm the working parent in our household. My husband stays with the kids. And so I'm fortunate enough that I have been able to be very strict about when I get home at like 5:15 every day. So I get to do dinner and nighttime with the kids. So I spend a lot of time really just trying to be present with them and put all digital stuff away, all work away for at least 2.5 hours. And post putting them down is some of my only quiet time. So though I often catch up on work, I also really try and carve out time to reach out to people that are just on my mind. And oftentimes it's like someone that I haven't talked to in years or haven't had the connection that I meant to send them something a month ago and I didn't. And I try and think of like 1 to 2 people and just send a note out to let them know I was thinking of them, because that quiet time doesn't happen that often or for that long. So I like using that time to reach out and, you know, send some nice vibes and energy. In terms of like my nightcaps, I'm definitely, you know, a chocolate and wine fan, and I believe joy is a nutrient. And as long as something truly is bringing you joy, I think it can be nourishing. I think the question in terms of like what you were talking about, the snack drawer, it's like, we might think something's bringing us joy, but can we actually answer the question, is this bringing you joy? Like when I say this, people often ask like, how do you know when you've had too much? And I'm like, you will know when it doesn't feel good anymore. Mm. And that's when it's no longer about joy. It's about leaning into getting past our comfort zone and knowing when joy is a nutrient or we've gotten too far.
Do you have a specific time that you tend to hit the sack at night?
I was definitely a partier before I became a mother. So it used to be like 10 o'clock dinners and going out. My husband was in nightlife. Now I'm usually in bed by like 9:45 to 10 and waking up between 5 and 6. That's if I'm lucky.
Is sleep something that's important to you?
I think it will be. For instance, my daughter, I had a birthday party last night, so I got home later than I've gotten home in years. And then my daughter decided to stay up from 1 to 4 and just want to hang out and talk. So is sleep important? You know what? No. What's important is, and I have to remind myself this in moments like last night where all I wanted to do was sleep. But my daughter was talking to me about how caterpillars turn into butterflies and it was like blowing her mind. And I was like, I'm going to miss this. Like, how can I just be present even though it hurts so badly? And I just want to like give her some Benadryl and like, you know, or put her in front of the TV or something to just let me sleep. I was like, how can I just lean into how uncomfortable this is and just participate with her, because it's not going to last forever and I'll be able to sleep one day. So the theory of sleep is important, but it's not my number one priority now.
How old are your children?
3 and a half. And then I have a son who's 1.
Oh, you're in
it. So we're in the thick of it.
You're in it.
Exactly.
And that's why sleep is not so important to you right now. Cause you're just like, it's not so important because I don't really get a lot of good sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like just out of that arena. I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
I'm looking forward to that.
This is a good spot. Because, you know, your kids are about the same age difference, 2.5 years. And so I will just say this, children are the most incredible thing that's ever happened to me. And I think that's probably, you know, goes for a lot of parents. What you just said about that being present, you know, before Creatures of Habit, I was in the restaurant business and there was no chance. I didn't have dinner with my family. I wasn't able to be home. Now on the other side of it, I made the same exact commitment that you make to your family, where I am home at 5 minutes before 6 every single day. I do not miss dinner with my family. I will not do it. I will stop everything to make sure to get home for dinner because I think it is so goddamn important. It's like, it makes me emotional thinking about it. And when you said it's not going to last forever, you're right. Presence is so important, and not only presence at work, because for hard workers, and entrepreneurs and athletes and, you know,
the intense folk.
The intense folk. I do believe that it is the default setting to be able to lock in at work. And then when it comes to transitioning to family, it's not as easy. It really is hard for me. It's very, very hard. And I do what you do. I do not bring the phone anywhere close to the dinner table from like 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's really sort of fam all day. And then if I got to hop back in, I hop back in. But I do think that is so important for the people here listening to know that, like, whether you're a parent or not, if you're in a relationship where somebody is requires attention for things to be successful, the presence there is so important.
It's similar to what you were saying about before, where good decisions equal good decisions, something like that.
Great decisions make great decisions.
It's same with presence. It's like, if you can be present at work, it makes it easier to be present at home and vice versa. Just like the act of trying to be present makes it easier no matter where you are.
Okay, back to habits.
Okay.
Do you have any habits that you do on a daily basis that don't necessarily have to do with morning or evening? Could be work habits, could be any kind of habits that you implement on a regular basis that really you wouldn't want to give up.
Yeah, there's things like I make sure I get 4 to 6 cups of greens, leafy greens every single day, no matter what. Like even if I've had a shitty day of food or like pizza for dinner, I add greens. It's just like my non-negotiable. And so to not do it is much harder in the long run than it is to just like make the time to do it in the short term. Let's see what else. I'd say, you know, I have a similar story where I had major body image issues, a toxic relationship to food. I learned how to count points and carbs and pounds and calories, and I never learned how to nourish. I never learned how to create a body that I felt really good in. I learned how to create a body that maybe others thought I felt good in, but not one that like I felt really grounded in, that I felt really sexy in. And so now that I found a way and I used, you know, the Saqqara nutrition pillars to transform my life, my relationship to food, how I nourish, it's taught me to always anchor on this really big why. And What I mean by that is, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in these really insignificant whys. Like, you know, we get clients all the time. We'll say like, what are you doing here? What do you want? And they're like, you know, I'm going to the Hamptons this weekend and I want to like feel great. Though there's no judgment about that, it's not going to get you very far. You're going to, quote, fall off the wagon. That's like where that whole fall off the wagon mentality comes from. And so how we help people understand that there's actually no wagon to fall off of is if you anchor on something so much bigger that it moves you. So like one of my big whys is I just want to feel like my most powerful sexual, sensual self all the time. Like it's a non-negotiable. And how do I do that? I learn how to nourish. I learn how to anchor on that big why that informs a lot of these, you know, micro decisions every single day. So I tell people like, find your why. And it might change, you know, every day. It might change a couple times in your lifetime, but find it because you're going to be confronted by decisions that might be hard. And if you can know your why, it'll help you make the decisions that in the end will ladder up to however, you know, you want to feel or whatever you're solving for. So that's like a daily habit I have in terms of thinking about, okay, is this going to help me, you know, get to the place I want to go or be the person that I want to be?
I think that's such a great point too. And I love that you use that for your personal life, you know, thinking about business. I'm reading a great book right now that just reminded me that I don't need to feel bad about saying no to meetings. I just don't need to feel bad about it. Just because somebody asks me to have a meeting doesn't mean that I have to take it. And engagements in general, you know, how much time am I spending on email? And is that going to ultimately generate better results for my business? Is email really just detracting? Certainly social media and, you know, insignificant text messaging. So like, I just think that the fact that you have that why and you're able to use that why personally to filter through the decisions that you make on a regular basis, I think is an awesome tool and an awesome habit for people to implement.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand rooted in functional nutrition. The protagonist is a superhuman, incredibly delicious instant and overnight oatmeal blend developed to feed your body the most optimized blend of vitamins, minerals, and macros. With premium oats, 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, a probiotic, and digestive enzymes in each pouch, you will never have to think about what to eat for breakfast, pre-workout or post-workout meal, or a healthy meal any time of the day in a pinch. Made 4 simple and convenient ways. 1, just add hot water. 2, overnight in the fridge. 3, add to a delicious smoothie or simply put in the microwave. Take the stress out of worrying about what to eat for a healthy and delicious way to kickstart your day. And if you fast, this is the perfect meal one as it delivers wellness, satiety, and delicious flavors. Pop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That's creaturesofhabit.com with a K, creaturesofhabit.com, and put in promo code KOHPOD20 for 20% off your first order.
I know we're running out of time here. One habit that you've broken that you...
Counting calories.
I used
to count calories like in everything that I did and everything I put in my body. And I used to think, okay, how many calories do I think I've had already today? What does that mean for dinner? Like it was obsessive, and broke that habit by understanding that calories don't count and that quality trumps quantity always. And so it saved me a lot of time. Now I think back and I'm like, I could have learned Chinese. I could have like been a master pianist if I had just used that time instead of counting calories, like in a different way. Obviously I have no regrets because it led me here and I had a very big, deep soul learning from being in that dark space. But that's a habit I'm very grateful that I've grown.
Do you think all instances when people count calories is dark?
I would say it can certainly be a positive tool on the path to no longer needing to do it. I think in this crazy world where most things in the grocery store are awful for you and we've really set people up to fail, I think sometimes you need something like a failed system of counting calories to help you navigate. It's like a necessary evil for some people, especially people dealing with metabolic disorders. But I don't think it's necessarily dark, but it's still not ideal.
We're going to go into a little bit of a quick fire. Okay. Go-to cheat meal.
Oh, I don't believe in cheating. There's no cheating. Joy is a nutrient. So I say yes if something looks good and sounds good and I think it's going to make me feel good.
Favorite thing to eat, period.
I think a really good like brick oven pizza with a huge salad on the side and a glass of wine.
Go-to lunch.
I mean, I always eat Sakara for lunch, so it's very rare that I don't. So it's a lot of plants and a lot of greens.
I just want to make a quick comment here. I love the fact that you are, you know, you've created a business that you live in. You live it yourself. You know, I do the same. I mean, I created Creatures of Habit only because I've been eating it every single day for the last 17 years.
Yeah. And also, like, I'm sure you know this, but I've just learned over the past 10 plus years of building this business, how many times I could have cut corners that the consumer would never know about. And I don't cut them because I find it immoral and it doesn't deliver on my mission to help people transform their lives and bodies. And also I eat this food. So it just, you know, you have to, that's why I tell people, like, find a face behind a brand, because my face is on this brand because, like, you can hold me responsible for quality. You can hold me responsible for my promise. And there's so many reasons brands and companies cut corners, especially on food, that we never know about, that is detrimental to our health.
Ocean or woods?
Ooh, right now, ocean.
Favorite place in the world? Favorite city in the world?
I'd say New York City is pretty, it's like, I just can't get it out of my system. But I spend a lot of time in Sedona also. So I think the duality of the two might be really important to making each as special to me as they are.
When somebody asks you about a great book, first book that you think about?
Women Who Run With Wolves.
Podcasts that you are enjoying currently?
I really like Lex Fridman. He goes into a world of like deep tech that I don't necessarily follow or understand, but he's just such an empath and such a compassionate soul that I even though I don't necessarily find the topics to be the things I usually am drawn to, I'm drawn to him as a human being.
I always ask this final question. You might have the answer right away, but you may not. You're an ambitious person. You have created an unbelievable business. You're a mother. You're married, successful. What is it all for? Why do you push to the level that you push at?
I am turned on by challenges. And I think that the opportunity to push past, you know, whatever it is, whether it's preconceived notions or things I thought to be true, I love the practice of constantly questioning, what can I do? What should I do? And I think that that is, in my mind, finding God. Like, that is the version of God that I believe in. It's, how do we step into our power? Because, not, you know, on one hand, I think we're mostly terrified of our own power. But secretly, everyone around you loves watching you shine, and it inspires them to shine. And I think one of our biggest lessons right now in these generations that are present right now is to remember that there is enough for everyone. And I think one of the ways that we remind people of that is stepping into our power. I think it's like the greatest gift we can give others is to show them that it's possible, and ourselves.
Danielle Dubois, you're amazing. Thank you so much for joining me on this.
Thank you, Michael. That was so fun.
This is, you're really, you know, an inspiration for me, for so many. I hear about all the stuff that you guys do through Greg and Paul, and how great you guys are to your team. And, you know, you guys are doing something really special and unique. How can we find you?
Let's see. Instagram is at Sakara Life. My personal is at Danielle Dubois, or Sakara.com.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much. We appreciate it.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. That will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.